Good morning.
Good.
You guys ready for spring break? Yeah, me too. I'm ready. I'm ready for May, about for myself. It's been a long year. I was getting on Glenn earlier. I've been on here 7 months, and I'm already getting the call up here. She's been here 18 years. Well, a little earlier for her, huh? But my name is Mark Perdue, and I am the son of Ron and Carol Perdue, brother of Mike, husband of Paula, father of Sam and Tess. And I'm athletic director here at Asbury University. And I'm a sinner saved by the glorious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will get emotional up here. My journey started in Huntington, West Virginia, just right up the road, about 2 hours. And if it wasn't for my mother taking me to church, starting out at Highland Baptist Church in Huntington, West Virginia, and then moving once she, my father and her were married before I was born, but we moved out to the countryside and went to a small Methodist church, and I just remember my mother just taking me always to church, and we started out at Mount Union United Methodist Church and was there, gosh, 18 years of my life, 17, 18 years of my life, and one of the ministers there was a Reverend Clifford Shell. I'm not sure if Mark's in the audience today, but that is the father of Mark Shell, Asbury True here, and it was good this past summer to catch up with Mark and to talk about some old times and just where our families are right now. But it's a small world that I was able to catch back up with him, and basically we're the same age and grew up in that church for a little bit while his dad was pastor there. When I was a child, my father never went to church, and the early recollections of my father that I remember was that he always went and played golf on Sunday mornings, and Mom would always take us to church, myself and my brother, once he was born, and he's 4 years younger. But, you know, early on in my childhood, our family just wasn't strong as far as church. My mother was very strong, and she insisted that my brother and I went to church with her, and I thank God for her and her being in my life. And but I remember the day my dad was saved. I was probably 8 or 9, maybe 10 years old, and I remember some guys coming up to the house and speaking to my father. I thought that was pretty weird, but we had just went through a revival, and he had went. And I remember that night, my dad got down on his knees with these gentlemen and gave his life to Christ. And at that time, that really changed my life and my aspect as far as we had my whole family going to church then. So as we were growing in the church, still at Mount Union, I continued going to church with our family and started going to the youth group. I remember those days, starting in the youth group. It was a small group. And I remember going to church camps and church retreats, and we went to a place just outside of Huntington called Asbury Woods. And who at that time would have known that I would be working at Asbury University? And those early days of my walk with Christ and going to church camps and the retreat center with our church and with youth camps and things like that, would I be at a place called Asbury. And I remember a weekend I was up at a church camp, and I was probably 12, 13 years old. And I gave my life to Christ. It was a very emotional time in my life. Being in middle school, I have a 13-year-old at home right now, so I know how emotional it can be when you're 13, and an 11-year-old girl. But it was a very emotional time in my life, and I remember at that time giving my life to Christ and coming back to my church and walking down that aisle and accepting Christ. And at that time, my church was not did not have a baptismal, so I remember going to Canova United Methodist. And again, that happened to be Clifford Shell's church. And I went down there, and we were able to use their baptismal. And, you know, and so as I went through being a youth, you know, I never really understood the relationship side of things. You know, I was a president of youth group, a treasurer, very active in the youth group. Every time the doors opened at the church, I was there. Christmas plays, Easter plays, youth group trips to places like Ichthus and things like that, but never really understood what was going on as far as a relationship with Christ. And you heard about it, but just never really took hold. But I knew Christ was with me. I knew I had given my life to him, but there was just so much more I needed to know. Well, I finished high school, went to college at Marshall University, and just up in Huntington, and actually lived at home and went to college, and wow. All I can say, wow, about college. That was an experience, and I experienced the college life in all aspects. Many wrong decisions, many good times, many wrong decisions, and I just wasn't living a life worthy of Christ. And that carried on, and as I knew Christ was with me, I knew where I should have been, but I just didn't do it. I kept going to church. I had to pretend Christian facade on myself. We'd go to church, party on Saturday night, but be in church Sunday morning. And I was just faking myself out and faking everyone else out. And that carried over. And one of the things you have to understand right now when you're in college, a lot of your decisions you make, they just carry through later on in life. And that is so true with my life. A lot of those college experiences just carried on. I met my wife Paula at college, and we dated for about 4 years. We got married. I was 25, and we got married. And still pretending. You know, went to church, got married in my home church, beautiful wedding, beautiful setting. Had all of our loved ones there. But really, just neither one of us were sold out and had that relationship with Christ. And when you carry those types of things into a relationship on earth here, such as a marriage relationship, it can be very, very trying and very detrimental. So we were married, 25 and 26, and we're pretending to be good Christians, but still doing college things, really didn't, wasn't really set in our relationship, and just didn't have a relationship with God. We barely had a relationship with our marriage. We probably didn't even realize we should have been married, and realize why we got married. But as we, about 4 years afterwards, our marriage, things started going bad. Bad decisions. We were wrapped up in our careers. I was working in Charleston, West Virginia. My wife was working in Huntington. Just not a solid marriage. And we were, you know, heading down some wrong pathways. And soon after that, we found ourselves separated from each other and found ourselves really, really separated from God. But I remember, you know, during that time of separation from each other and separation from God, God was working on me, and God was working on my wife. We had some great neighbors, and she was being mentored and consoled by a heavenly lady who's gone on to be with the Lord. I would always make fun of Meek Pat. She was our neighbor. They had a house full of kids, a great Christian family. And she was just so humble and so meek. And we would call her Meek Pat. Well, Meek Pat saved my life. She saved my wife. And she started mentoring her. And so we were heading down a wrong road and towards divorce. And one night, God got a hold of me. I was by myself. Sleeping, fell quickly to sleep. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I went into a deep dream state. And all I remember is waking up screaming And I could hear dogs down at my feet. And I could hear the gnashing of teeth. Have you ever heard of that in the Bible? Quite often in the Bible, you'll hear that gnashing of teeth. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And I'm trembling right now just remembering that. And I didn't know where to go at that time. But I called out for God. And I saw the hand of God come and grab my hand. And immediately, I woke up. I could go on and tell you more things about that episode, but I just remember going, and I think it was Michelangelo's picture of the 16th chapel or somewhere, of the hand of God coming and touching man. And I think Joe Brunner has a picture of that in his office. And I saw that. And I knew God was getting a hold of me at that time. I rededicated my life to Christ. I reconciled with my wife. We both became new people in Christ. And it was awesome. Shortly after that, we moved to South Carolina to start our new life today, to start our new life in Christ, to start new careers. A couple years after we'd been there, we were just still asking questions, and we were praying, very active in church, renewing our life with Christ. And there was one day we got down on our hands and our knees, and both of us prayed. That's probably the first time my wife and I had ever done that together. We prayed on our knees about our careers, about starting a family. We had wanted to start a family, and we're thinking about what we could do, and we were trying to get pregnant, and it just wasn't happening. We were thinking about going to a fertility specialist and doing things that way. We just didn't want to spend the money. We knew that adoption was a possibility. So we got down on our hands and knees that one night, and within 2 weeks, this is a shocker, within 2 weeks, my wife worked at a OBGYN clinic in Greenville, South Carolina, and she was their office administrator. Within 2 weeks of that prayer, one of her doctors came and said, "Hey, Paula, we have a girl coming from Mississippi. She's wanting to give her baby up for adoption. We know you and Mark have prayed about this. Would you be ready for an adoption?" And we most definitely, we didn't have to go back to the Lord and pray. We already had prayed. So we didn't have to go, "Okay, Lord, is this what you want us to do?" You know, we knew that was an answered prayer. And within a week after that conversation, we had Samuel David Perdue in our house. And we went through the home study and everything with the lawyers, the home study people. And within 2 weeks of that prayer, we had a child in our home. Were we ready? No. But God knew we were faithful to him for asking him. And he was faithful to us. And he answered our prayer. Many of you guys know Sam. And his name is Samuel David because God hears his beloved. And that's what his name stands for. And that's what it means to us. 18 months later, we had Tess. God just blessed us so much with Tess. Today, Sam is 13, Tess is 11. My wife and I have been married for 22 years. That's a hand. I think I need a hand for that. And God needs a hand for that. We've been to Africa twice on mission. We teach Sunday school. We teach Bible school. We are sold out for Christ. We moved up to Kentucky to get closer to home, to be in a Christ-like relationship, to be in a Christ-like atmosphere of Asbury. And it has just been awesome for us. And just to wrap things up for my life, and I tried to wrap things up with a certain scripture and something that you can take hold of today as you go. And as you grow, just remember the decisions you make now will affect your life later. And I can look back on my life, and I know you do this as you're older. The older people in the audience can see. You'll look back and you'll see where God let you go. And you'll see where God took you. In every aspect of my life, way back to when my father was not in church, I can see God had a hand in my life. And when I had that dream and saw God's hand, I had no doubt that he was my God and he was with me. But to wrap up, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, 13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Never stop talking with God. He will answer your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, for sharing your testimony with us. Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to be here. And just to let you know, I'm a recent grad from Asbury College, Asbury University now. I'm a 2008 graduate of Asbury University. And I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm excited because I have been anticipating this day, this chapel, this moment, for a long time. Actually, I've been anticipating this moment for over 18 and a half years. In July of 1993, the Lord showed me a vision. And he gave me a glimpse of myself working at Asbury, a glimpse of myself speaking in chapel. And I immediately knew what the Lord wanted. I knew what he wanted me to do. And my initial response was no. No, Lord, I don't want to go to Asbury. See, I was satisfied, so I thought, working at the University of Louisville. I didn't want to move home to Nicholasville or even to Wilmore. But how do you say no to the Lord? How do you say no to his will? How do you say no to his purpose? How do you say no to his plans for you? But the Lord wasn't giving up on me, because the Lord reminded me that this was not the first time that I had said no to his plans. He reminded me that in 1975, 18 years earlier, when I was a junior in high school, that he had opened the doors for me. And I said, no, 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 Lord, I don't want to do that. I grew up in Nicholasville and was familiar with Asbury, and my parents, they were friends with a young couple who were attending Asbury. And we often came to the campus for special services, for music concerts. I was on the track team at that time, and we had many of our track meets here on this campus. So I was familiar with Asbury, but when the Lord opened the door for me to attend Asbury as a student, I said, no, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. And so after I had that vision, the Lord worked on my heart. And in 1993, I went back to work the next day, and the Lord spoke to my heart throughout the day. And he reminded me, Eileen, I've been faithful to you. I've been faithful to you all your life. He reminded me of how he had taken care of my son. My son was very sick, and the doctors had almost given up on him in the hospital. But I was able to bring him home. And the Lord reminded me of that. He reminded me of how he always provided for my family and how he was still taking care of me. The Lord asked me if I was willing to let go of the things that I was holding on so tightly. Would I go? Would I stand on his word? He asked me to just simply trust him and have faith. So at the end of the day, before I went to sleep, my response was, yes, Lord, I'll go. But there was a requirement, and that requirement was that the Lord had to work everything out for me. And little did I know that the Lord was going to move very quickly, because through a series of events, the next day when I went to work at the University of Louisville, they were laying many people off, but I was not one of them. They were downsizing, and the girl who was sitting next to me at the next desk, she was going to be laid off. And the Lord placed it on my heart to talk to my boss and ask him if he would lay me off and give Marjorie my job. And my boss, he agreed to lay me off, so I would be eligible for unemployment. And within 30 days of the vision, I had left my job. I had moved to Nicholasville, but I didn't start working at Asbury until 1994. Jeremiah says in the 29th chapter, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So here I am in 2012 experiencing the vision. You all are a part of it. And one thing I've learned over the years is that I cannot change God's plans, his desire, or his purpose for my life. I can say yes to his plans, or I can say no. But why so long, Lord? Why did it take 18 years for this vision to come to fruition? What was God's purpose? What is the message for today? You see, when I came to Asbury, I was constantly asking the Lord, "What do you want me to do? What am I here for?" 5 years later, I was still asking the Lord, and I was still waiting for that aha moment for what my purpose was and why I was here. But the Lord knew my heart. He knew my motives, and he knew my desires. The Lord also knew that I was not fully committed to him, and he showed me that I did not have a pure heart for doing his will. My heart was not pure, and I had not allowed the Lord to circumcise my heart. I did not love God more than I loved myself. So I began to ask God to change my heart, to cleanse me, to give me a pure heart where I would serve him. Now, I'm not a warm, fuzzy type of person, and my coworkers who I work with, they could probably attest to that. But one thing I do know is that I love the Lord, and I do want to serve him. I had accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 9 years old. I was raised in a Christian home. I taught Sunday school. I led a women's ministry. I worked in the music ministry at my church for several years, but I had not truly embraced God's grace or totally surrendered myself to God. Sure, I was doing good work for the Lord in my church. I was singing the songs of Zion, but my heart was far removed from him. And even though I had not fully submitted myself to God, God's plan for me never changed. He was waiting for me to say yes, yes without hesitation, yes to his grace and yes to his love. The Lord wanted me to worship him with my whole heart, to worship him in spirit and in truth. The Lord reminded me, "For I know the plans I have for you, Eileen, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And this is the same message that the Lord had declared to the Israelites when they were in bondage in Babylon. Jeremiah's message was a message of hope. You know the story. You know how the Israelites were, a stiff-necked people. Serve God one day, worship him, and then turn around and worship idols the next day. And I was no different. The words that the Lord gave to Jeremiah to declare to the Israelites was the same message that he had given to me. I'm not without hope, and neither are you, because our hope is in Christ. And then one day when I was sitting in my Old Testament class, I began to feel God's presence. And we had been studying about the sacrificial lamb and the Day of Atonement. And the more Dr. Hamilton talked about Christ's love for us, how God loves us, how Christ was the sacrificial lamb, how he was the only one who could atone for our sins, the blood of Christ was the blood of life. And the more he talked, the more I felt God's grace wrap itself around me. And it was at that moment that I began to truly embrace God's love and accepted God's grace. I felt overwhelmed with joy, with thanksgiving, with peace. I was comforted by God's grace. I wanted to run, I wanted to shout, I wanted to tell somebody what I was experiencing at that very moment. But most of all, I wanted to fall down and just worship Him. I thank the Lord for His saving grace and what He had revealed to me. And the Lord told me, He said, "Eileen, this is not just for you. This is for you to share with others." In the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, the Lord also says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." The key to understanding God's plan is to have a heart that is seeking God. God's plans for us will come to fruition when we fully seek Him with all our hearts. And my prayer for you this morning is that you will earnestly seek Him. And then only then can He bring you out of captivity to experience His plans for you. And over the years, I've come to embrace God's grace, and I've come to understand and accept that His grace is sufficient for me. But why so long, Lord? Why 18 years? Why was the vision fulfilled today? I believe the Lord's vision is fulfilled today because I believe there's someone here that is struggling with accepting God's grace. You're singing the songs of Zion, you're going through the motions of worship, but your heart is far removed from Him. And the Lord told me to ask you, are you willing to stand on His word, or are you willing to simply say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go. I have faith in you. I'll let go of those things that I'm holding on, that I'm thinking that's going to protect me and that's going to keep me." Are you willing to accept Him? Are you willing to accept His grace? Will you join me in singing "Amazing Grace"? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your grace and for your mercy. I pray that your love, your grace will always abound in our hearts. I pray that your grace will always shine upon us. Lord, I pray for that one, for that person who has thought that they had fully submitted themselves. I pray that they will examine their hearts. Let you examine their heart and change their lives. Lord, I thank you I pray for those who are traveling during spring break. I pray that you'll take them to their destination safely and that you will bring them back to campus. For it's in Jesus' name that I do pray. Amen. Have a great spring break. You're dismissed.